Luke chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 25. I don't know. I just presume Luke has put all these scriptures in his computer back there. If not, he'll be putting them in there. Maybe. I don't. I've got a lot of them because that's basically what I want to do here tonight. I want to reaffirm something that we believe, or I trust that we believe. Maybe we once believed and now we were not for sure. It, you know, there's lots of things that transpire in our lives sometimes to make us wonder, make us question, make us doubt. I mean, questioning sometimes can be doubt. It's not always doubt to question. I mean, you know, if you want to know something about something, you've got to ask a question. That's not doubt necessarily. But if you're always questioning it after you've already got the answer, then that's doubt. And so questions are not always wrong unless you've already got the answer and you keep asking. Then it's not really wanting knowledge. It's you're not believing the knowledge that God has brought you. But in Luke chapter number 21, and you can stand with us tonight if you'd like for the reading of these opening scriptures and this text tonight. Verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's not the third heaven. That's the first heaven. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Father in heaven, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God, for your presence with us here tonight. And we thank you for your word and we thank you for the Spirit of God that quickens it into our hearts and into our minds and brings it to an experience. God, I ask you to move here tonight to encourage our hearts, our minds, our souls. Touch our bodies, Lord, and bring healing, Lord, as only you can do. Father, we praise you and we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated again tonight. Simple title here tonight, He is Coming. It's a statement. Whether it's a exclamatory, there we go. Imperative sentence, He's coming. We don't have to doubt about that. We don't have to worry about that. That is a fact. He is coming. When we say He, we are talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Talking about our Savior, we're talking about our coming King. Hallelujah. A lot of times we don't really fully understand the concept of a king. A lot of times, even in the hour we're living in, people are having a hard time being patriotic. Because being patriotic is the same thing as honoring a king. It's the reality of the price that's been paid for my freedom. A gratitude for the price that's been paid for my freedom. The freedom that we have in America cost the blood of thousands upon thousands of men. I think some people have forgotten that. I think they need an awakening to that reality fresh and anew. I don't know why someone would forget that, but they have forgotten that. Someone has told them a falsehood somewhere along the way, and they believe the lie instead of the truth. Well, there's a lot of people that are not really looking for the coming of the Lord either. Even though they've been in church for a long time, possibly, or maybe just in a church somewhere, but they're just not looking for the coming of the Lord. They're not. It's not a reality in their hearts and in their minds, and I personally can relate to that. Raised in church all my life, up till I was 18 years old, and I had never heard the word rapture. Never heard the word rapture till I was 23 years old. Didn't have a clue what it meant, believe it or not. But it didn't take me long to understand after I got saved what it meant. And I began to look for it. I began to long for it. Hallelujah. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to reaffirm in your heart and in your mind that the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is coming back to gather together the church, to take the church out of this world. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 64. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now this scripture we read in Luke about the last days and the signs, that really spoke to me as I began to read that about the powers of heaven being shaken and the things happening, the perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring and the powers of heaven being shaken. And I just couldn't help think about the snowstorms. I couldn't help but think about the hurricanes. I couldn't help but think about a picture of the swirling clouds, and they called it a great cyclone over North America, and why we have all this wind going on right now. And I couldn't help but think about how that it's warmer in some places than it is in other places, and how things are just happening everywhere all over the world. And you always hear this term, this is the worst we've ever had it. This is the worst that has ever been seen. Does that ever click something with you when you hear that? Does that ever trigger a red flag of reality? This is what Jesus was talking about. The powers of heaven being shaken. The weather patterns being enlarged or estranged, or phenomenon like this never before. Wow. That's why we know He's coming. That's why we know He's coming soon. He told us right here, when you see these things come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Acts chapter 1, verse number 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up you from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Picture it in your mind tonight. The disciples have just been talking with Jesus. Jesus has just been talking to them. He's there. They believe He's resurrected. They believe He's alive. And all of a sudden, He just starts rising in the air. What would you do? Exactly what they did. Just watched Him go. And He disappeared. And they may have stood there all day had them two men not been there. And got their attention. Hey guys! He's coming back. Just like He went. Just like He had told them, just like He had promised them, just like He had taught them. And so those men in that white apparel got their attention off the clouds, now back down here on earth to the reality. We have seen Him. We know He's alive. We know He's ascended to the right hand of Father. And we know He's coming back. Every writing in the Bible of the epistles were written with the reality of the imminent return of Jesus Christ and the admonition, be ready to go, be ready to go, be ready to go. We don't say it near enough today, be ready to go. Be ready to go, because now it has been over 2,000 years, and now sometimes we're wondering, will it really happen? Yes, it will. He's coming. Praise God. His word does not change. It's forever settled in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28, it says, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. See, the next time He's coming, He's not coming for Calvary. He's already finished Calvary. The next time he's coming to catch the church away. And then he will ultimately come and judge the world. Amen. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we see then he's coming with the Bible continually. Matthew 24, verse number 5 through 13. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. These things are happening. These things have happened in the past. But these things are getting on a excelling, moving more at a rapid rate. And because of the advancement of technology, things are really going over the top. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. Then one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming. He's coming. And he used a simple illustration. If you knew that a thief was coming at 7 o'clock, then you would be ready and waiting for him to deter him however you needed to. That's just wise, isn't it? And so Jesus is saying, you know the signs that I have told you. Watch, pray, be ready. Watch, pray, be ready. Pay attention. Anybody ever heard that terminology before? Pay attention to those things that are around you. I remember back when we were young, and John Toddy would always do his defensive driving. Always pay attention to the other guy. You know what you're doing, but sometimes they don't. Always pay attention to the other driver. Do you realize that I took that to heart? And still this day, when I'm coming up to an intersection and I see a car coming the other direction, I am paying attention to that car. And I am watching that car to see if they do what they're supposed to do, called stop. Every time. Never fails. Because he drilled that in us so much that it just became part of my thinking. And I'm always watching the traffic, the other guy, the intersection. That's something these young people need to pay attention to. Hallelujah. You always watch out for the other guy because you know what you're doing. Well, you're supposed to anyway. You know what you're doing. You know how to drive. You know what you're supposed to do. You're a law-abiding citizen, but not everybody else. You always watch the other guy. Even when you're driving down the highway, just because there's a center median between you and that other lane, doesn't mean you can be oblivious listening to your music or playing with your phone, because you never know when somebody else is coming across that lane. You've always got to be alert. Watch. Watch. Probably a good idea to be praying as you're driving too, especially for teenagers. Amen. Praise God. He's coming, church. He's coming. The scriptures very, very strongly let us know. If there's one thing about the New Testament scriptures, they are full of being ready for the coming of the Lord. There's no reason for us to doubt that. We need to believe that and always make preparations. Luke 12 and 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." That's talking about truth and letting your light shine. "And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, find them so. Blessed are those servants." Did you catch the fact that when Jesus comes for us, he's going to begin to minister to us when we get to heaven? Praise God. That's what that was talking about. "And this know," this continues here, 39 and 40, "and this know, that if the good man of the house had known 1 hour the thief would come, he would have watched." That is a typo. Sorry about that. "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not." Amen. Even pastor does typos. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Philippians 4 and 5. So you notice as we're moving into these scriptures that Paul is talking to several different churches and he's telling them the same thing. Philippians 4 and 5. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Hebrews 10:37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." James 5 and 8. "Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." He's coming. Jude 14 and 15. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam." Now this is reaching way back to the Old Testament. "Prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." That is a reference actually to the time of the great tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation, and that's a reference actually to that second coming of Jesus Christ to bring judgment to this world. And that's why the terminology includes so much ungodliness, because there is no Spirit of God on the face of the earth then. See, right now it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that is pushing back the darkness, pushing back the evil. As you and I continue to pray, as you and I and the church continues to pray and continues to serve God and continues to lift our voice of the truths of God's word, that's what's pushing back darkness. It's just like every time you turn on a light switch, the darkness has to go backwards. And it's the same way when we stand up for the truths of the kingdom of God and the truths of the word of God, it pushes back darkness. It sometimes causes conflict. It may cause you some persecution, but you got to realize you're winning. Even though you get persecuted, you're still winning. You're still on the winning side. Because if they take your life, what have they done? They have ushered you into the presence of your Christ. Hallelujah. So that's why we don't fear those that persecute us, because we know in whom we have believed and that he is able to keep us. Amen. For his purpose, his plan. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Praise God. I like words like that in the Bible. Leaves no doubt. He will do it. Praise God. He is coming. And we are looking for that return. 1 John 2:28-29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Praise God. There's a little test in that scripture if you didn't notice it. If we're born of Christ, then we're going to put on Christ. We're going to be acting like Christ, living for Christ. And the last scripture here this evening, Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Church, it's not time to be ashamed to be a Christian. Amen. If there are people around you and they don't know you're a Christian, something ain't right. That means you're ashamed that you're a Christian. I realize there's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak. I learned that a long time ago the hard way. I always was speaking at the wrong time, and when it was time to speak, I wasn't speaking. Praise God. There is a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak. But the thing is you should always be inviting people to church. If you got coworkers, then they should get invitation to the house of God at least once a week. I've heard too many stories of those individuals. Oh, they get tired of hearing it. Oh, they get tired of hearing it. They just need to hear it. They need to be invited to the house of God. They need to be reminded of where they need to be. Sometimes just your presence reminds them of that. Because if you've invited them several times, multitude of times, then there may be a time not to invite them. But just when you show up or when you come in the room, it's just an automatic presence of God. It's just an automatic draw. Do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Because if you are, you won't go when he comes. That's just what it told us. You see, we got to understand that's what it means to be ready. To be ready means we are ready to give all for this man called Jesus. We're ready to stand for him. We're ready to proclaim him to anybody and everybody. We're ready to share at any open door. We're ready to knock on any closed door. We're ready to try the spirits. We're ready to see. We're ready to reach. Why? Because we're ready to go. And we realize multitudes are not. And so then we've got to be ready to share Jesus Christ. We got to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in us. Amen? That hope of the coming of the Lord. He's coming, church. We've got to be ready, and we got to be reaching. Readiness is reaching. If I'm ready for the coming of the Lord, then I've got to be reaching for the Lord. Amen. I've got to be letting my light shine. I've got to keep that light burning. Amen. Could we stand together again this evening? Could I have a piano player again this evening? I think I've been short-winded. I'm not for sure. See, it does. I lose all track of time when I'm up here. I just was trying to purpose to be short-winded. Maybe I got it done. Maybe I didn't. And maybe I'm not done yet. I don't know. We'll... You know, because we can stop our message and close for another 30 minutes, or I can. You start message number two. No, what I'm after here tonight, church, is just a reality, just a refresher course. He's coming. I've got to be ready. And I've got to know His voice. My sheep know My voice, and another they will not follow. I've got to know His voice. If I don't know His voice, then I will not be able to be ready when He returns. I know His voice when I begin to allow the Spirit of God access, full access to my capacities, to my mind, to my heart, to my soul. You know, a lot of times people will only give the Spirit of God access to their mind. They won't open the door of their heart. They don't mind learning knowledge. But knowledge is of no use until it becomes experience. And that's when the heart becomes involved. And once the heart becomes involved, then that's when the soul begins to rejoice. And that's when the joy begins to flow. The gladness, the merry heart that worketh like a medicine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, a lot of times our healing comes from God wants to hear you sing. When everything's going wrong, I still find the joy that's in my God. Hallelujah. And that merry heart worketh like a medicine. It lifts me up. Hallelujah. It keeps me watching, ready. Amen. Praise God. Let's come around these altars tonight and let's find us a place to pray. And as it's been mentioned already here tonight, if you've got a need, just stretch it forth to Jesus. Just stretch it forth to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because He has just what we need here tonight.